This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
You got that laughing stereo, baby.
That's a new promo. Haven't heard that
that's
one.
That's a new opener. Yeah. It's 102.5.
Oh, because we're new.
Yeah, yeah,
we've got new numbers. And refreshed.
We are.
And we're FM.
And if you sounded
friggin'
a little
bit... stands for friggin' magnificent, I reckon.
If you sounded tinny last week, this week you sound fulsome and round.
Just like my body.
Somebody suggested that I do not seem or look my... 60 years today.
Oh, that's right.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
So you're 70 and I'm 60. What a pair.
And we are so close together.
We are. Oh. But someone said in my ABC photo that I didn't look my age.
No.
And I said quite happily, that's because I made them airbrush one of my chins off. I mean, it's my one moment of being a bit of a prima donna.
Well, I don't think you look any age. I think you're just spectacular.
Bog witch.
Actually, bog witches, because we dwell in a lot of bog.
We're preserved.
Yeah, we preserve ourselves extremely well.
It's the peat.
I go peat on the outside and different stuff on the inside.
I'm not gonna ask a question from Joanne in Two Rocks. We have a picture.
Yes.
She's coming up on the phone. I'm just going to wait for... What is that?
That normally I would say that that's a rubber plant, and then you've got a grevillea. Now, Joanne lives in Two Rocks, and I have to tell you, Joanne, that if I was a plant living in Two Rocks, it might even be a magnolia, I would probably turn yellow as well.
Oh, hi, Joanne.
Hi, I have this problem with pretty much everything, but yep. These are the two worst.
Yeah.
That's a magnolia is the other one.
Right.
And a grevillea.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you've got a grevillea that doesn't like really alkaline soil and strong coastal winds that salt lands on it. Magnolias, I would only grow a magnolia in a pot in a very protected position in Two Rocks.
Is it in a pot?
No, it's not, but it grew for like 2 years doing beautifully.
Yep.
And it was green and lush and fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think it's – and then just this last spring, all of a sudden it did this.
Yeah. So what's happened there is it's growing up and it's sending roots deeper down into that lush pH of about 13 limestone – ridden, gutless, sandy soil, Joanne. And so, you know, the roots have moved further down to a new apartment and they're not liking it at all.
I knew you were going to say that.
However, I'm always one for optimism. Solutions focused, not just, you know, it's going to die. What you will have to do every year is you're going to have to get a mixture of powdered sulphur, cow manure, compost, mix it up all together, and you're going to have to either dig a trench around it or put that on every single year, and I'm talking 10 centimetres thick around it.
Oh, okay.
So the surface roots will get all that kind of tucker and it will be more acidic, which hopefully will neutralise it. The lower roots, of course, will still be into the gutless sandy soil. But eventually all that compost, manure and sulphur will filter through and it will definitely improve it. So it's not, you know, we're not going to send it to the mortuary yet. The grevillea, the grevilleas that do best in coastal sands are the ones that have the smaller flowers, you know, like Grevillea oliveacea, Wimpara gem, Lady O, all the smaller flowering grebs. They are the ones that, yeah.
Yeah, I had a grevillea growing there and it that wind you were talking about twisted the trunk on it and busted it.
Yeah,
so we put a new one in and it grew lovely for about 2 months and then it turned yellow.
Yeah. the thing about living in Two Rocks is that's where succulents just come into their own.
Oh, God, I don't love them that much.
No, I know. But okay. There are, you know, there's a really good list of alkaline-loving plants. In fact, I'm writing about that in 2 weeks' time. Now, I'm going to give people a whole list of things that will survive in a pH of about 10, which is what you're looking at.
Yeah. Can you tell me with the magnolia, can I prune it pretty hard?
Yeah, you can.
Get rid of all that muck
and then
hopefully see what happens in the spring.
Yep, absolutely.
When should I put this compost cow?
Now. Do it now. So I'd do that now and then I'd prune in April.
Okay.
Mm.
Good luck with that, Joanne.
Excellent.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thanks, Joanne.
Me interrupting with some of my usual meaningless nonsense. As you were saying, Grev, just then, I remembered that I met a man called Grevin once.
Ah!
And I said, what nationality is that name? Because I thought it might be French, you know, Grevin. And he said his mum made it up. It was a mix of Greg and Kevin. I'm glad you find that funny. I had to keep a straight face and I couldn't.
I reckon stuff like that happens when you've had like 4 kids and you just run out of energy to think of another.
Or 4 sherries maybe.
Maybe a couple.
While pregnant.
I think 4 kids drives you to 4 sherries.
In the 1950s. Grevin, if you're out there, sorry for laughing at your name. Brody. Hello, Brody. Brody's in Wembley.
Hello, Brody.
G'day, how are you?
Good.
And we're putting in a pool somewhere in the winter, and what it means is we'll be sort of taking up a big citrus plant, a big citrus tree.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to just move it, and I was sort of wondering what's the best chance. I don't know if it's a terrible time to move it or a great time to move it, and I was just wondering what's the best chance of
survival,
giving it the best opportunity to survive. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what citrus it is?
Well, we're going either left or right. One's an orange tree, one's a lemon tree. So it's going to be one of those two.
One or the other. And will you have access to machinery?
Yep. We're going to have a big digger there so we can dig a big,
perfect,
big hole.
No worries. You're in business, Brody. Okay, so I would not move it until, if you can wait until the end of March. Can you wait for that long or not?
It won't be before April or May.
Perfect.
It'll be May, April, May or later.
Okay, so this is marvellous. Because both of those will transplant well, except you're going to lose all your crop if it's an orange tree.
No problem.
So you need to prune off 50% of the tree before you dig it up. And before you dig it up, 4 weeks before you dig it up, no, 6 weeks before you dig it up, I want you to get a wetting agent and some seaweed solution and drench around the root zone. So do that every fortnight, 6 weeks before you dig it up. And then 2 weeks before you dig it up, you're going to do the hard prune.
Okay.
And then you're going to come in with machinery. And then you're going to give it a little blessing before it's dug up and then put it in its new home, which you'll
have. Do I need a priest for the blessing?
Look, plants don't actually know about religion as yet, but they certainly know about energy.
It's about the vibes,
It's
Brody.
About your vibes, man. So all you have to do is just a little bit of omming around it.
Perhaps we could offer a bog witch blessing service.
That's a great idea because, you know, Amber and I are the supreme leaders of the bog witch. Well,
Perth
not
bog
really
witch chapter.
Leaders. We're the most experienced bog witches in WA, I would have to suggest.
So just yellow pages for the bog witch?
Yeah. That's the one. And I tell you what, Brody, we'll do a deal for you. When you're ready, when the machinery is there and ready to move that tree, you have to ring us, and we will give our bog witch blessing over the airline.
We will. Hold the phone up.
Yep. Hold the radio to your tree, and we will give it a blessing for you. And that's, you know, that's courtesy of ABC. You don't even have to pay for it.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, Brody. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
I
don't think he's quite sure now.
When we do the ABC Open House this year, I can't remember what date that's happening.
Me either, but, you know, it's later on in the year. So
we will be doing the Roots and Shoots from the downstairs studio.
Yep.
Perhaps we should dress as bog witches.
Oh, I've already got the outfit.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, and you know I do like to play dress-ups.
You do, and I don't, so it's going to be a challenge for me. Trent.
But we both have our black boots, which is essential.
I don't know if a bog witch would wear a black boot, would she?
Well, then she takes everything off later on.
Oh, okay. Trent is in Balga.
Hello, Trent.
Hello, Trent.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
We are marvellous.
Okay. I'm building a couple of houses in Balga. So I've got a clean slate.
Yep.
And obviously Balga's that sandy beach soil that, you know, is good for nothing.
Yep.
And I want to know, how do I start off the garden? Should I just dig it all out? And replace it?
No. That's a lot of work. What you need to do is not dig stuff out, but dig stuff in, Trent.
Yes.
So let us remember that if you purchase West Australian plants, they're used to the gutless soil type, but they do need a hand. They need some help. And if you're putting in plants from other countries, they need lots of help. So rather than remove all the soil, sand is actually a really good growing medium. The problem is our sand has no nutrient value, no water holding capacity, zero, nothing to get your garden started. So what you do, instead of taking stuff out, you remediate the soil that exists. And in doing that, you need a rotary hoe, and you're going to turn in clay, compost, and poo. So, or you get good quality landscape mix and you dig that in, but you must put in some clay. So rather than removing stuff, unless you need to drop the levels, and then you'd get in big mobs of good quality landscape mix. But clay will be like the little angel on your block.
Okay.
So you can hire rotary hoes. You get big ones, and then you incorporate all that. It's going to be much cheaper in the long run.
Okay. Copy.
So, yep, go on.
No, sweet as. Thank you very much.
Oh, sweet as. Sweet as, bro.
Thank you, Trent, which is a mix of Trevor and Kent. this is hilarious. Chef's texted in. Yeah. I met someone 30 years ago called Portia. I said, how beautiful. Did your mum like Shakespeare? Nah, she said. It's after their names, Paul and Sharon, spelt P-A-U-S-H-A. That is the greatest.
I love it. I love
people. People are funny. Karen, are you funny?
I'm hopeful I am. I always found it funny when I'm listening to you guys.
Oh, that's good. that's good.
Yeah. Well, I look a bit funny, you know.
So. No, you don't. She's looking pretty pretty for 60 years of age, I have to tell you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I know.
Fancy, I'm having a lovely morning.
Fancy, I forgot all about it.
Brina, how could you possibly?
It's because she's 70.
I know, it's because I'm old now and I forget. Within 1 week, I've already forgotten.
She's leading the path to the future for me.
And you've had your birthday, so that's all that
matters. Yeah, that's right. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Anyway, I've got a stupid orange and a beautiful orange. Beautiful orange tree and lemon. They're about 8-9 years old. Well, the lemon's younger, but they're flourishing with beautiful green leaves.
Yep.
How do I encourage? Shouldn't they have blossom on them now?
Well, the orange tree would have fruit on it now.
Yeah, well, what happened, it was in the ground and we've had to put it in a pot because we had to get it out.
Oh, okay,
And it's got done very well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's beautiful. But anyway, what do I do?
Okay, so the orange tree is sulking, which is fair enough.
Possibly, but it's got beautiful green leaves.
That's great. So you're not going to get any flowering until probably another few months. So. So in 3 months' time, you need to get sulfate of potash onto that. And also, I would add foliar liquid trace element spray all over the foliage. You need to do that to all your citrus trees.
Okie dokie.
And then sulfate of potash. You've got really good green healthy growth, but you need you need potassium to give it a kickstart to flowering. So, foliar trace elements, sulfate of potash, and that should solve your problem.
Thank you, Karen.
In every way. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. The new number is 1300 221025. If you have a question for Sabrina, it is what time is it? It is 20 past nine, and Chris is on the line from Perth with a variegation. Good morning, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Good morning, ladies. Basically, I've got a rescue plant, which is a variegated hibiscus.
Yeah.
I end up digging out of the ground, but where the single stem was, other tree branches had fallen on it and it was split.
Yeah.
So I've transplanted it into a 30-litre tub. And, you know, from my point of view, it's going gangbusters. It's a beautiful little shrub.
Yep.
I want to know, basically, if I dig it out, can I continue the split down the middle and plant it out separately? Or will that sort of traumatise it to death, or just leave it sort of half split?
Now, when you say split, did it split because it broke, or did it split because it's got two main trunks?
Well, no, I think where the main trunk was and the two branches were coming out, some random tree branch fell on it and just split it down the middle.
And did the work for you, cut it in half for you where you didn't have to do anything at all.
Pretty well, except, of course, it's joined below the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Etc.
Okay, so regardless of what you do to try and pin it together, it's still going to split. So you may as well deal with what you've got. So now it's a really good time. Well, it's not the perfect time of the year to prune it right back. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to split the two in half so you have two plants rather than one.
Correct.
There will be a tear further down where that happens. And that's going to affect the root system that supports the top either side of where the split is. So you will need to prune it before you split the twins into separate bassinets, basically.
Yep, yep.
And I would prune it. Now, does yours have the red flower?
It does.
Yeah, so okay.
Sort of a reddish-y bordering pink.
Yep. So they grow really easy from a cutting, and basically what you've got is a bloody big cutting. So should be okay, all right? So what you need to do is prune, take 50% off, then do the split, then do the repotting. I would wait until the end of March if you can.
All right. March. Yep. I was thinking probably more wintertime sort of.
No. They're a tropical plant, Chris. So they will need the warmth to regenerate.
Chris, thank you for that. Good luck.
No worries.
Send us a photo when it sprouts. Thank you so much. 1300 221025 is the number you need to call if you would like to speak with Sabrina Hahn and get her to diagnose what's wrong with your plants. Kim says, I'm in Wembley Downs and have a 2-year-old Michaela Alba tree in our back courtyard. Some of its leaves are going brown. However, there is new growth and flowers. Should I be worried? P.S. Courtyard is surrounded by Tuart gum trees that drop a lot of leaf litter. I'm wondering if soil is becoming too acidic because of this, says Kim.
Oh, so what we're looking at here, folks, is the big Tuart trees, aren't they?
Are they?
Big Tuart trees are huge. Mm. Oh, not a lot of foliage on this Michaelia. Yeah. So the umbrella next to it looks sort of more interesting than the Michaelia alba that you've got, which is a white flowering. They're related to
Michaelia cash?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's got a nice bob.
Well, yeah, that's true. It does have a nice bob. But they're related to magnolias. Now, they grow in the Himalayas, Amber.
In the Himalayas?
Yes, the Himalayas. In totally different soil type, different climate, different everything. So now where is she? In what suburb? Doesn't say. Okay, so it is really suffering. Michaelia alba Will only grow in semi-shade with very rich soil. Now, those chewed trees will be sucking the life out of everything in the soil underneath them because they are clever at doing that. I would dig it up, move it, put it in a pot or find somewhere very protected for it to grow. Put it in with cocoa peat, cow manure, sulfur, compost and a prayer.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today, the two bog witches, to bless the Mechelia.
Yep.
There you go. We have blessed your Mechelia and now do what Sabrina said to do with it.
Yep.
Yeah, because...
They're a beautiful tree.
Beautiful tree.
They're a sacred tree. The Buddhists
Helen
like
is
it.
In South Perth. Hello, Helen.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, good morning, ladies. How are you?
Great. Oh, we are fabulous. We're gearing ourselves up for the bog witch. What shall we call it?
Blessing.
Blessing and festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Festival.
In the down under.
And I was thinking maybe we might have room for an interpretive dance. For example, if you said rotary ho and I danced in a circle, I could be a rotary ho.
Yeah, and you'd have to do, you know how horses do
She's
that.
She's off.
So, you know how they do that? They do that scuff with their hooves. So you'd have to go around in a circle and do that.
There's more action in the studio than there's been in years. Off she goes. She's at a hootenanny.
And perhaps with the arms.
Oh, a bit of a hum. It's the Tyrannosaurus arms, I've got to say. Little short ones. Helen, would you like to get down to business?
Sorry, Helen. I got distracted.
I'll do my best. I planted two Hakea larinas in May last year and they have died. And I'm wondering if you can help me out with that, with the reason why. I bought them both. They were about 1.5 metres when I bought them.
Yeah.
They were doing really well.
Yeah.
I prepared the whole well.
Yeah.
I fed them with native
fertilizer.
And mulch.
Yeah.
Yeah, native mulch as well.
Mm.
And in January, one of them just lost it and died over about 2 weeks.
Oof.
And then about a couple of weeks later, the other one did the same thing.
Yep.
I bought them from what I believe is a good nursery, and I did call them. One person said maybe they weren't getting enough water, but I had given them extra water, and I'd also put sea salt on.
Yep.
Sorry, seaweed.
Seaweed, yeah.
And it didn't make any difference. And I've got a number of other, like I've got grevilleas and another number of eight natives around them, and none of them were stressed.
No.
So,
look, Hakeas are a little bit like Banksias in that they just go, okay. You know what? Nah, I'm not really keen. I'm not keen on this.
Yeah.
Just, so many people have trouble with Hakea larinas. And in fact, Hakeas are really fickle. So.
Right.
Sometimes it's the ones I've seen where I've gone into gardens and it's dead and I've ripped them up to have a look at the root system. The root system hasn't expanded at all. So they've sort of wrapped around themselves. If you've got something that's dying and when it dies, it's really helpful to dig it up and have a look at the root system. So they can get root rot, they can get a bacterial rot, they can get, you know, if it's they're a bit sort of like Goldilocks, if it's too wet, too dry, too in between,
right,
inconsistent watering, they just go, nah, forget it. I've got a Hakea on my front verge that is now 20 years old, and after 20 years, it's decided to grow and flower. So
what?
In 20, it's grown more in 1 year than it has for the past 19, and it's full of flowers. Now, I don't know if that means it's going to die.
Yeah, right.
But they are Hakeas are slow growing and they're like Banksias. They just if they're not in a soil type they like, it's just all over Red Rover.
Yeah, okay. All right. I had thought that the Hakea larinas were as tough as old boots.
Well,
they probably won't.
They are
go there again.
But if it's not working in your soil type, don't try Hakea larina again. Yeah.
All right, I'll stay away.
Yeah, sorry, okay. Helen.
Oh, that's okay. Good to know.
There we go. Thanks for calling, Helen. Just had to text the husband and get him to take the pork out of the fridge.
Oh, and what are you having a big
knee-up? Having some mates over for lunch today. Then I'm going out on another lunch tomorrow. And
oh, good. I hope you get some sleep between now and tomorrow's lunch.
I will, yeah. Off to Rotto for a week. That's the good part.
How glorious.
Yeah, pretty
I love going
that.
To Rotto. It just seems to be very difficult to get any accommodation there.
Yeah.
Maybe I should tell them who I am. Maybe you, I should say, do you understand? Do you know that I am one of the leading bog witches of Western Australia? And perhaps I could do a blessing on one of your salt lakes.
Yes.
Because they're good boggy areas down on the edges there.
Think of me.
I will.
Next week with jealousy.
I will.
Jess is in Karratha with those issues that are on your screen.
Hello, Jess.
There are critters, there are weeds, there's a fence.
And there's also the horned moth caterpillar.
Is that the one with claspers?
No, with anal claspers. No, they've got too many legs to have just an anal clasper. I wonder if bog witches could perhaps do some interpretive dancing.
Could you please help Jess before I lose
Jess,
her?
Okay. So the weed you've got is called spurge. If you have asthma, it's a really bad plant for asthmatics. It is part of the euphorbia family. That weed is found throughout Australia. Some people get really bad rashes from it. So can you kill it? Yes, you can. So you can use either a pelargonic acid, which is the oil of geraniums, and it burns the hell out of it and it just sizzles up. You've got to get it before those little, because it's in flower, before those seeds set, because it has heaps of seeds. The caterpillars, you can use a bacteria spray. Now, they have on their hairs, they are big skin irritants, so don't pick them up with your fingers and squish them. Certainly use your boot or your fingers, or spray the area with a caterpillar-specific bacteria spray. Then it looks like you've got either mullumbimby grass in your grass, in your lawn. Is that a zoysia lawn, Jess?
I don't know what it is. It's some kind of cooch. It came from my friend's a farmer in Kununurra and she grows seed. So it was their northern blend. So I think I'm not sure, to be honest.
Well, it's either it looks like a mullumbimby cooch, but I don't know if it would be. Well, it certainly grow
Has
well
it got a
in
joint
Karratha.
In its hand and bare feet?
Well, it's got its fingers ready to hold a joint by the look of it. Now, whatever you spray for that is going to kill your lawn. So you're going to have to spot spray that with the same – well, you can either spot spray with a glyphosate spray or you use the same pelargonic acid spray and it burns the hell out of it.
Yep. Okay.
So that's what all those yellow spots are in your lawn, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
I think we've covered all your
three questions
your
for the price of one. Yeah. Thanks, Jess.
Can I squeeze another one in, or have I got to go?
Quick, if it's
much?
Quickie.
Okay. I've got bananas, and they're throwing off suckers. Have you got any hot tips on all of the suckers that I'm cutting off and potting to keep them alive? Because they look very unhappy.
Yeah, but they will do for a little while. You've got to feed them up, even when they're little. They're hungry children. Okay. Hungry.
Good luck.
In the pots.
Yep. Okay. In the pots, yep.
Hung up on a T-minus one caller to Phil before we have Sab's pick of the week. Phil, what's your question for Sab?
I've got this feijoa tree. It's just under a metre tall. It's pretty thinly looking and it's in a concrete pot. I was wondering, you know, whether it's either transplanted or anything yet.
Yeah, I would. Now, I can tell you that feijoa will not be happy in a concrete pot because that concrete pot is going to get really hot and really cold. So you're better off putting that in a terracotta pot or a glazed pot, not a black plastic pot. And if it's really tall and thin, cut its head off now and then repot it.
Okay, then.
Okie doke. That's easy, Phil.
Good luck with that, Phil. Thanks for calling. Sab, tell me about your pick of the week.
Oh, a little bit of Sophie Tucker. Now, who doesn't like Sophie Tucker?
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
What do we know about Sophie Tucker?
She's just an awesome singer-songwriter.
Well, I believe it's two people. One's called Sophie and one's called Tucker.
Really?
That's true. And because
is that true?
It's true. And because there is that general confusion with it, they have a sign on the back of their stage.
They do too, saying
Tucker Appreciation Minute.
That's right. That's right. They do too.
Poor old.
But I've picked this because of the title of the song. This is called Good Time Girl.
Perfect.
Because the one I am sitting next to right at this very moment.
This Rotary Ho.
The Rotary Ho, who's just turned 60, is my good time girl.
Oh, thanks. Oh, Sab's pick of the week, Sophie Tucker there with Good Time Girl. That was an absolute bop. I think we can all agree.
Loved it. Bog Witches Unite.
Hi, this is Ollie. We're now on FM. If you're still listening on 720 AM, make the switch to 102.5 ABC Perth on the FM dial.
It is 102.5 FM, ABC Radio Perth. My goodness, I'm still kind of stunned by that. Elizabeth is in East Fremantle. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Ladies, lovely to be on again. This is about my third time. It's becoming a regular, I'm afraid.
Ah, we love regulars. You're our bread and butter.
Saturday morning, I think gardens, and then I think you two.
Oh. Yeah, well.
My dilemma. I bought a beautiful, one of those standard geisha girl plants.
Yeah.
Flowering with, you know, purple flowers, etc.
Yep.
And its roots are coming through the base. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is, should I plant it up in the ground, or should I just upsize it?
Now the great thing about Duranta Geisha Girl is it will grow in any soil type. So I know you're in East Fremantle, which can be quite alkaline. Although there is an ancient river that went through East Fremantle. Did you know that? And we found all this beautiful loam, but it depends where you are. So you can either upsize it, and I would go twice the size of the pot it's in, or you can plant it in the garden as long as you put it in with a bit of clay and a bit of compost, Elizabeth.
And thank you. And can I do that now?
Or? Absolutely you can. Yes, indeed. They love the heat. So that's not a problem.
And upsizing it, repotting it, what sort of soil am I going to use for that?
Get a really good quality potting mix, Elizabeth, and mix in a little bit of compost with it, like just 10%.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Okay. I shall have it thriving.
Ah, fantastic. Thanks, good. Elizabeth.
Well done, Elizabeth. Vanessa is in Stoneville. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, Vanessa.
Okay, I have a mandarin tree, which has been well established for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A root has come out of the ground, yeah. And two seedlings are growing from it, and they would be probably about half a foot each, looking very nice.
Yep.
Can I pot them and get new mandarin trees?
No.
That's what
shortest,
my husband said,
shortest answer ever.
Now, the reason I say no, Vanessa, is because your tree is grafted on a rootstock, probably trifoliata, which is most of the rootstock for citrus in WA because they're resistant to root knot nematode. If it has come from a seed, you might be getting fruit in 15 years' time.
Right.
But if it's anything that's come from the root system, you do not want to grow that and tend it and care for it unless you intend to graft it in 5 years' time.
Okay. I'll tell him he was still wrong.
No, thank you very much. I'll snap them off. Should I snap them off?
Yeah, snap them off, Vanessa.
Snap them off. Yep. Okay, lovely. Okay. Thank you.
I remember a long time ago when root knot nematodes got a very big laugh from a former colleague.
Yep.
That was for
Jillo. That was
not for root knot nematodes. I think this might be it.
Gardening with Jillo and Sabrina.
I'm wanting to know how to get rid of nematodes in my vegetable patch.
Not the root knot nematode, Susan.
Susan, you're in a lot of trouble because you know the root knot nematode will not get out of your garden. There is a bacteria that actually kills the root knot nematode.
There you go. Just a blast from the past there. I did enjoy that. Craig is in Wembley Downs. Hello, Craig. What's your question for Sab?
I've got a grass tree. You've got a couple of ticks on it?
Yep, yes. I do indeed. It's not looking good.
How do I fix it? I could have actually put a little bit more fertiliser than it should. I haven't fertilised the grass trees, but there's a kumquat tree, a very small kumquat, which I think I put some potash around and a bit of other stuff, some seaweed stuff.
Yeah.
Would have heard it? Because the grass tree just next door to it is working perfectly.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if the fertiliser that you used had phosphorus in it, it could certainly have affected it. So what you need to do is you need to prune the top. You haven't got a lot of green stuff left. Get rid of all the brown stuff. Yeah. Prune the top where the green is left. I want you to give it like a punk haircut.
Yeah.
And then what you need to do is you need to try and flush that fertilizer out. So get a wetting agent and start watering really heavily to flush out any of the phosphorus that may have come its way.
Okay,
that's about all you can do, I'm afraid, Craig.
Someone has suggested you need to check the grass tree for mites.
That's not a mite issue.
She is the plant doctor.
It doesn't get too much done because there's a huge suet tree.
They will grow as an understory plant, Craig, so that's not the problem.
Okay, great.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, Amber.
Beautiful. Thanks, Craig. We are coming up to the final 15, the final furlong.
Jocelyn. Now, that's not a name you hear often. That's my mother's name, so I don't really like it.
No offence.
I'm not going to ask you a citrus question. That's
But that's all right. Do you get called Joe?
No, Joss.
Oh, Joss, much better then. Because we always refer to my mother when we talk about all those happy years we had with her. We always say, well, remember Jocelyn would such and such, such and such.
There you go.
But I like Joss. I reckon that's great. So do you mind if I call you Joss? Because I feel so much kinder towards you that way.
Terrible.
And what can we do for you, Joss?
Elderly friend gave me two cycads that they're potted.
Yeah.
And I want to repot them.
Yeah.
And I just want to know what sort of potting mix, soily sort of stuff to buy.
Okay. So cycads, now be very careful with cycads that you don't upsize them too quickly. Cycads actually like being root bound.
Right.
They like a very free draining soil. So any good quality potting mix with added, you know, the bags of orchid mix that you get.
Yes, yes.
So just a little bit of orchid mix. So no more than 15% orchid mix in a good potting mix.
Right.
Because it really does need that free drainage. Now, they don't like being in a big pot. They like, you know, where they can feel the edges of the room basically around them.
Right.
So, so don't upsize too big.
Yes. Okay. No worries. Okay. Can handle that.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks Jocelyn.
Go and cause trouble elsewhere.
Beautiful. That's what we're for, causing trouble. And Darren is in Beverly. Hi, Darren. What's your question for Sab?
Yes, hello. I've got a dwarf mandarin.
Yeah.
And it's, I've had it for quite a while, or a year probably. It was in a small pot, about 200-300 mil pot.
Yeah.
And it was just basically just a stick about 2 foot high.
Yeah.
And I thought it was dead. Now it's starting to get leaves on it. Ooh. About halfway up.
Yeah.
But it's under the patio, like under the shade cloth.
Yeah.
Now, should it be out in the sun, or I know we've had 41 degrees in that. Or should I?
Okay, so if it's been under shade cloth, Darren, you're going to have to acclimatise it to full sun. So what I want you to do is move the pot into where it gets all the morning sun. Okay? So morning sun until midday, and then either dappled light or the shade.
Okay, and then once the climate, like once it doesn't get so hot, you can pull it out in full sun.
Yeah,
is that right?
So this winter, pull it out in full sun.
Okay, that's all good. Thank you.
Okay, beautiful.
Thank you, Darren. 1-300-221-025 is the number for Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn. Ask if you have a question. See, I've reached that point of the day where I can't speak. I just noticed that I was sitting here smiling at you.
Yes.
Thinking that sitting here smiling is not helpful on radio.
No, but it's helpful for me, because if you weren't here smiling at me, I'd have to know how to push all the buttons, twiggle the mouse and do it all on my own, and it wouldn't be anywhere near as much fun.
Nettie from Mindari says, can I do anything to make my kikuyu more resilient to dog wee patches?
Oh, I thought kikuyu was resilient to a nuclear attack. Yeah, hose it. Hose it down.
You got to follow your dog and hose it immediately.
Well, maybe even look at changing the dog's diet. I don't know. We need
it. It's girl dog stuff though, isn't it? Just girl dog wee?
Oh, it's better than boy dog wee. Could say cock their leg on and spray all your plants. At least it's just lawn.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm really into
it. Put a nappy on the dog.
No, have a look at the dog's diet and see if there's something. There must be stuff on. We should bring a vet in sometime to talk about, you know, gardens. And I got a question the other day about putting plants in and which plants were poisonous to cats. I had no idea there were so many plants that are poisonous to cats.
Okay, I think I know a man who might know a man.
Oh.
And a woman.
Oh, good. Well, let's get that person in knows men, women, cats and dogs.
I will make a note of that and chase it up. Not for next week, because I'll do that while I'm on. This is interesting. Sab, we live on a farm and we're thinking of doing a fundraiser for the school selling cow poo-poo.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice on preparing cow manure? Does the manure have to be a certain age before bagging? We don't want to kill everyone's gardens.
No. Now, the beautiful thing about cow poo is it's quite a gentle poo. So if you wanted to ensure that it wasn't going to burn anything, which I doubt very much that it would, you could bag it and age it, or don't bag it until it's been out in the sun for, say, 3 weeks, and then you can bag it. If there's any trace of ammonia or anything else, that just, you know, the sunlight takes all that away. So 3 weeks, bag it up, and it's liquid gold. Well, solid gold, soon to become liquid gold.
There you go. Jeannie in Carlisle says, please, can I be a bog witch too?
Well, we come along to our downstairs, you know, hoodang, our open day. Yeah, I was reading the other day that all the hoo-ha from a backlash about the new environmental laws. So they've got this new environmental protection arm is going to be set up in Canberra, and they've put it right down at the basement.
Oh,
goes to show the priority.
There we probably go.
So I think all the bog dwellers need to go downstairs to Canberra.
And lobby. The audience is helpful because they know things. Sandy says there's an additive for a dog's water bowl. Hello, girls, you can buy type of rocks to put in their water and that will stop the dog wee from affecting the lawn. That is so fascinating.
Yes, but we've done that. We covered
that
a few years ago and people said it didn't work. But I don't know. It might be just the wrong rock. Oh, yeah, I mean, you'd have to get you'd have to get
special rocks.
Special rocks.
Tell us more about the rocks, please. Nola, do you know about the rocks?
I have no idea about the rocks, but I do believe it's only female dog wee.
That's what I thought.
There you go. Oh, that's only because male dogs pee up against the actual trunk of your tree and you can't see that. My female dog, beautiful Tilly, she never, I don't know, I used to cook food. Is she, well, she's underneath the soil now, but it didn't affect my lawn.
I think it's hormonal.
If they're spayed. Maybe. Anyway, what can we do for you this morning, Nola?
I have a bougainvillea that has been in a pot for years and years and years and years, and it's got really good movement, really good nabari. So I'm thinking to chop it back and try and bonsai it. And I just wondered if it's okay to chop it back now. Do I have to wait? What do I have to do?
Well, it's a bougainvillea, Nola. You can chop it. You can do whatever you want at any point in time of the year, unless you live in a frost-prone area, which Bunbury certainly is not. So you can do that whenever you want, Nola.
I thought I might be able to, but I thought I'd best check with the expert.
Ah, you're so good. Yep, crack on that. And I've seen the most beautiful bougainvilleas in bonsai in Japan. Sensational.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Home of bonsai. Good luck with that, Nola. Thank you. Graham is in Parkerville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Yeah, great. Very well. Very well, Graham.
Second time caller. So.
Welcome for the second time.
Yes. My son's got a house in Ellenbrook, and he's got about three great big palms.
Yeah.
I'll call them palms. And I did send through a photo, but not sure if it's come through yet.
Right.
Oh,
it's coming. No, it's not coming. It's coming. It's going down. It's coming up. It's going through. We haven't yet. Not yet. But it's coming. So, Graham, what would you like to know? I'll see the palm trees in a minute, but what would you like to know about said palms?
The question is, how much can we prune them without killing them? So can we cut them back to where they're still green, the throngs, whatever you want to call them?
At the top?
Yeah. Well, they're very large and they're going up under some of the eaves.
Now, Graham, if you did that, you would end up with dead palms.
Okay.
Because you cannot take the middle part out of a palm. It kills it. So don't do that. you can under prune them, and you can take off some of the fronds that are the tallest fronds that are hitting the top.
Okay.
But you can't cut the top off because that's the end of the palm.
Yeah, there's probably like a good, I reckon it's probably a good metre and a half of the green. So could I probably take off half of that, do you think, or just the tip?
Yeah, you can cut the fronds back by half.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but that's it. You either remove the fronds from the side or you cut the fronds back by half, but you can't just cut the top off.
No, fair enough then,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Disappointing, really, isn't it? You were ready to go. You were about to commit.
Did you have the saw out? Had the chainsaw out?
They're just close to the house. That's his trouble. They're right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Aren't you good looking after your son's garden?
Oh, yeah. Last week was a week for parents looking after their kids' gardens. Thanks, Graham.
Thank you, Graham. Now, speaking of birthdays.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Graham. Johnny Frog's having his big bash tonight.
How old's Johnny Frog?
Up at Shark Bay. Oh, he's only a young tacker.
Like me.
Yeah, a bit like you. A bit younger probably. I don't know actually how old Johnny Frog is.
Johnny Frog.
Anyway.
Are you going? No,
can't make it to Shark Bay. But anyway, Johnny, have a good knees up tonight because he's the disco king.
Disco king. Is there a nursery in WA that supplies plants that are poison? every... that are poisonous to cats. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it would be... just for you, Bruce, no. Every single nursery on the planet will sell plants that are poisonous to cats. Being poisoned's not a nice way to die, though.
No, it's not.
Did you see the thing about all the owls dying directly from rat bait? Oh, I did.
It was horrible. I hated it. Someone is keen to know the song that Jeff Hutcherson used to play on his show. It was a band called Wet Leg, and I think it was called Chaise Longue, Carol, you were asking, apropos of Can't Remember What. And Jeff says, got to love the skills of your producers pulling that root knot snip up so quickly.
I know, Ash is pretty amazing.
She's a gun.
She's
Brianne, good morning to you. Brianne says she loves listening, listens when she gets her acupuncture every fortnight. Happy birthday to me. Thank you for that, Brianne. And, and good luck with the needles. And what else? We got a quick one, just a quick one.
To give us a quickie. There's someone's birthday too. It's a dog.
How small would a bonsai bougainvillea be able to be kept at with pruning?
Ah, well, in Japan they spend 100 years on the one bougainvillea bonsai that's no more than 30 centimeters high.
And would it flower?
Yeah, they do.
And would the flowers be teeny tiny?
They're teeny, teeny, teeny. It's like when they do the apple trees, they get teeny, teeny, teeny little fairy apples.
Oh, I think we've gone full silly, and with approximately 54 seconds remaining on the show.
I think you should celebrate your 60th, because I tell you what, between now and 70, it's a riot.
Yeah, well, I'm having a pretty good time. Mm. I'm excited to have made it to 60 because, as discussed earlier, the thing that they found in my heart last year, they said they found it in babies and 60-year-old corpses.
Well, you're way ahead of the game
so
then.
So we fixed it. Yeah, I was feeling pretty corpsey too last year before things got seen to. Hey, thanks for your company. Please make Christine feel welcome next week. I'm going to be away, not because I'm dying or anything, because I'm on a little birthday holiday. It's 9 o'clock. Bye from us.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.